Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this inaugural event of a partnership that's already transforming how governments serve their citizens in the 21st century. You know, 1 year ago at the UN General Assembly, I stated a simple truth, that the strongest foundation for human progress lies in open economies, open societies, and in open governments. And I challenged our countries to come back this year with specific commitments to promote transparency, to fight corruption, to energize civic engagement, and to leverage new technologies so we can strengthen the foundations of freedom in our own countries. Today, we're joined by nations and organizations from around the world that are answering this challenge. In this open government partnership, I'm pleased to be joined by leaders from the 7 other founding nations of this initiative. I especially want to commend my friend, President Rousseff of Brazil, for her leadership in open government and for joining the United States as the first co-chairs of this effort. We're joined by nearly 40 other nations who've also embraced this challenge with the goal of joining this partnership next year. And we're joined by civil society organizations from around the world, groups that not only help hold governments accountable, but who partnered with us and who offer new ideas and help us to make better decisions. Put simply, our countries are stronger when we engage citizens beyond the halls of government. So I welcome our civil society representatives, not as spectators, but as equal partners in this initiative. This, I believe, is how progress will be achieved in the 21st century, meeting global challenges through global cooperation across all levels of society. And this is exactly the kind of partnership that we need now, as emerging democracies from Latin America to Africa to Asia are all showing how innovations in open government can help make countries more prosperous and more just. As new generations across the Middle East and North Africa assert the old truth that government exists for the benefit of their people, and as young people everywhere, from teeming cities to remote villages, are logging on and texting and tweeting and demanding government that is just as fast, just as smart, just as accountable. This is the moment that we must meet. These are the expectations that we must fulfill. And now we see governments around the world meeting this challenge, including many represented here today. Countries from Mexico to Turkey to Liberia have passed laws guaranteeing citizens the right to information. From Chile to Kenya to the Philippines, civil society groups are giving citizens new tools to report corruption. From Tanzania to Indonesia, and as I saw firsthand during my visit to India, rural villagers are organizing and making their voices heard and getting the public services that they need. Governments from Brazil to South Africa are putting more information online, helping people hold public officials accountable for how they spend taxpayer dollars. Here in the United States, we've worked to make government more open and responsive than ever before. We've been promoting greater disclosure of government information, empowering citizens with new ways to participate in their democracy. We are releasing more data in usable forms on health and safety and the environment, because information is power, and helping people make informed decisions and entrepreneurs turn data into new products that create new jobs. We're also soliciting the best ideas from our people in how to make government work better. And around the world, we're standing up for freedom to access information, including a free and open internet. Today, the 8 founding nations of our partnership are going even further, agreeing to an open government declaration rooted in several core principles. We pledge to be more transparent at every level, because more information on government activities should be open, timely, and freely available to the people. We pledge to engage more of our citizens in decision-making, because it makes government more effective and responsive. We pledge to implement the highest standards of integrity, because those in power must serve the people, not themselves. And we pledge to increase access to technology, because in this digital century, access to information is a right that is universal. Next, to put these principles into practice. Every country that seeks to join this partnership will work with civil society groups to develop an action plan of specific commitments. Today, the United States is releasing our plan, which we are posting on the White House website and at opengovpartnership.org. Among our commitments, we're launching a new online tool called We the People to allow Americans to directly petition the White House, and we'll share that technology so that any government in the world can enable its citizens to do the same. We've developed new tools called Smart Disclosures so that the data we make public can help people make healthcare choices, help small businesses innovate, and help scientists achieve new breakthroughs. We'll work to reform and expand protections for whistleblowers who expose government waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're continuing our leadership of the global effort against corruption by building on legislation that now requires oil, gas, and mining companies to disclose the payments that foreign governments demand of them. Today, I can announce that the United States will join the global initiative in which these industries, governments, and civil society all work together for greater transparency so that taxpayers receive every dollar they're due from the extraction of natural resources. So these are just some of the steps that we're taking, and today is just the beginning of a partnership that will only grow. As Secretary Clinton leads our effort on behalf of the United States, as these nearly 40 nations develop their own commitments, as we share and learn from each other and build the next generation of tools to empower our citizens and serve them better. So that's the purpose of open government, and I believe that's the essence of democracy. That's the commitment to which we're committing ourselves here today, and I thank all of you for joining us as we meet this challenge together. I want to thank you very much for your participation, and with that, I would like to turn over the chair to my co-chair, President Rusek.
Senhoras e senhores.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to take part in the official launch of the Open Government Partnership as a co-chair. It is an important tool with which we will be able to strengthen our democracies. I would also like to congratulate President Barack Obama for having raised this issue in such a timely fashion during the last United Nations General Assembly. The use of digital networks is key to promote, or as part of our efforts to promote, more open governments that will prove fully accessible to citizens. It is also key to improve public services such as education, safety, and the environment, or environmental services. Such networks are an important tool in achieving our objective of strengthening democracy. Brazil, my country, endorses the Declaration on the Principles on Open Government and would also like to put forth its own national plan of action. We have made significant progress as part of our commitment towards transparency, accountability, equality, and the openness of government management. The idea of an open government in Brazil is linked to the democratization of the country back in the 1970s. It is not only about, of course, the task is not only about allowing individual access to the budget implementation by the state apparatus or about monitoring the honesty or candidness and rationality of actions by government officials. More than that, the task is about ensuring a proper accountability and rendering of accounts and citizen inspection and participation, therefore establishing a permanent, ongoing, two-way relationship between the government on the one hand and society on the other hand. In the past few years, we have seen an expansion in the fora of dialogue involving the management of public will, or the public will in Brazil, thanks to the implementation of participatory public comments and consultations. Since 2003, the Brazilian government has carried out 70 different subject matter-specific conferences in several different areas of interest, thus triggering an interaction with more than 5 million people in 5,000 municipalities. Obviously enough, the major social or societal change experienced in my country today would not have been possible in the absence of actual engagement of Brazilian society. We resorted to public comments or public consultation rounds in preparing government plans and programs, including the multi-year plan for 2012-2015 and the Brazilian proposals for the upcoming United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20, which Brazil will have the honor of hosting in 2012. Currently in discussion in the National Congress is a bill of law, a draft bill of law aimed at providing for proper access to public information, setting clear-cut rules, and shorter time periods that would otherwise govern confidential documents. Thanks to the high degree of transparency or openness in which we operate, it is increasingly possible for us to identify, pinpoint, and correct any management problems. We have a federal ministry called the Federal Comptroller General's Office, which is devoted solely to promoting transparency, openness, and preventing as well as fighting corruption. The Federal Attorney General's Office and also the Federal Police Intelligence agents are also autonomous in their role. We also have a very positive press, which performs a surveillance role since it is not subject to any government constraints. Government actions in that regard have been firm and sustained. I have been very clear since I took office in January when I stated and asserted that my government will not tolerate or have any linkages whatsoever with mistaken behavior, embezzlement, deviation, or wrongdoing. Ladies and gentlemen, the internet and the social networks have increasingly performed an important role in the mobilization of civic forces in political life. We saw the power of these tools in the democratic awakening of North Africa and Middle East countries that were shaken to the core by the Arab Spring. In order to put technology to the service of social or societal transformation, Brazil is now enhancing its e-government tools and also disseminating the use of open, interoperable standards while at the same time developing a national open data infrastructure. We have innovated in the use of digital collaborative platforms in the drafting of bills of law in Congress. Our transparency portal on the web is currently an emblematic symbol of Brazilian progress in the relations between government and citizens. Through the transparency portal, we have posted and disseminated on the web on a daily basis all government expenses. The next step will be to make that information available as an open source type of document, therefore allowing its free use for different analysis and cross-referencing applications. We are also implementing as part of a priority project in my administration the National Broadband Program, which will overcome the major digital inclusion bottleneck that we have, namely the shortcomings and the high costs of internet access these days. So once we overcome those bottlenecks in Brazil, the open government standard in Brazil will be fully accessible to all walks of life or social segments nationwide in Brazil. Ladies and gentlemen, the open government is not only about transparency, accountability, and fighting corruption. More than that, it is about citizenship and people's involvement, as well as innovation and better rendering of public services, therefore placing innovation at the service of education, health, and public safety policies. It is therefore a project to ensure democratic modernization as we move into the 21st century. Brazil is highly interested in the matter at hand, and it is my belief that we are in a position to contribute positively. I am very pleased to confirm and invite you all to come to Brazil, as Brazil will host the next meeting of the Open Government Partnership in March 2012. I am quite certain that between now and then, we will see more countries and players becoming more fully engaged in this ongoing initiative, therefore providing their invaluable contribution. Thank you very much.
Next, we'll hear from the President of Mexico.
Your Excellency, President Barack Obama. Your Excellency, President Dilma of Brazil, Your Excellencies, Presidents and Prime Ministers, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to be here today with all of you to launch this project for open government. This is a very valuable effort to build all over the world better governments, more transparent governments, accountable governments. And I want to thank Presidents Obama and Rousseff for this wonderful invitation. For years, and perhaps even decades, the government of Mexico was like a lockbox. Nobody really knew what was going on inside that box. And as you can imagine, that led to very serious problems of corruption. When Mexico moved towards a better democracy, one of the biggest social requirements was to turn that lockbox into a glass box. The challenge was to guarantee every Mexican citizen the right to know what the government was doing and how it was doing it. So our National Congress passed last year a Freedom of Information Law. And this is a law that guarantees to all citizens free access to all information in the federal government. Our legislation establishes a basic principle that we all believe in. All information in the hands of the government must be public, with the exception, in any case, of information considered confidential because it contains strictly personal citizen information or information having to do with national security. This law also created the Federal Institute of Access to Public Information, also known as Access to Public Information and Data Protection, which is an autonomous agency designed to enforce the law and to provide citizens with the power to have access to that public information. And it's also handled and governed by independent citizens. And with us today is its president, Dr. Jacqueline Pichard. Today, anyone can even anonymously request and obtain information related to the federal government. The salaries of all public servants, the amounts of the budgets, and any amount of money that is used for a government program, the details, procedures, and decisions made by the government, and the reasons, of course, on which those decisions are based as they are made by the government. For example, I personally have the obligation to provide information, of course, having to do with any activity carried out by the Office of the President, even the gifts that we receive, the complete list of anyone invited to a birthday party in my honor, for example. And I have provided all of that information, which is required, as well as any other information that is requested. And I've done that gladly because I believe, I am convinced, that in any true democracy, the people have the right to know what the government is doing. From the beginning of my administration, for example, just a little over 4 years ago, my administration has received and has responded to over 535,000 requests for information, and we've already responded to 98% of those requests. In 2007, during the first year of my administration, there was a constitutional reform passed that provides all citizens access to information, not only in the federal government, but also in local and municipal governments. For the federal government, transparency and access to information are part of our constitution, but they're also part of our ethical and behavioral principles. We've also carried out not only things having to do with transparency, but also those having to do with providing better service to our citizens. First, we are handling our public finances at the federal level with regulations that guarantee transparency and accountability. Second, approximately 60 cents of every peso spent by the government is devoted to social programs in health, education, and combating poverty. To ensure transparency, these programs are subject to strict citizen and legislative oversight carried out through a higher independent auditor elected by our Congress without any intervention from the presidency. And these are also evaluated by independent national and international organizations. Third, in the area of technological innovation, we have an open portal called the CompraNet, which is an internet system that provides all companies the same opportunities to become government suppliers. At the same time, it allows citizens to obtain information on all contracts carried out by the government and the procedures necessary for calls for bids. Fourth, we've carried out an intense regulatory reform to do away with excessive government red tape. Last year, in the year 2010, we eliminated over 16,000 regulations that contained over 2,000 unnecessary and redundant démarches, and in a single manual, we concentrated all procedures having to do with government procurement in order to avoid discretionary decision-making in our public agencies. They all have to carry out the same activities in their calls for bids. This has turned our relationship with our citizens into one that is much more efficient, effective, and transparent. We've also tried to involve our citizens in the constant improvement process in our government. For example, we organize an open public call for bids called the Most Useless Démarche. And that allowed us to detect through our own citizens those most inefficient sectors in the government from the viewpoint of the person on the other side of the counter. In other words, from the viewpoint of our citizens. These efforts are helping us to create a culture of accountability and to decrease the level of corruption. However, it's also clear that we need to do even more and develop institutions and mechanisms that are even stronger to attain government transparency at the state and municipal level, where we have not had an equal amount of progress, as well as to get into other public institutions such as our Congress or the judiciary. Ladies and gentlemen, today Mexico is also presenting its own plan of action. In it, we take on four key commitments as established by our global commitment for the Open Government Partnership. We want to increase public integrity, handle our public resources more efficiently, increase accountability in corporations and our public services. And we are sure that this initiative will allow us to strengthen the ties of trust between the state and our citizens in Mexico and with other countries. I want to reiterate the commitment of Mexico to take an active part in the Partnership for Open Government and to fulfill its principles. We are extremely interested in getting to know about the experience of everyone here and to learn from all of you. Once again, I thank you for launching this initiative, and you can very much count on Mexico to work on all of these things. Thank you so much.
Next, we'll hear from the President of Norway. Minister, excuse me.
A continuación, escucharemos al presidente de Noruega. Muchas gracias, presidente Rousseff, presidente Obama. Muchas gracias por presidir esta sesión de la Asociación de Gobiernos Abiertos. La apertura es sobre la rendición de cuentas. La apertura es sobre la participación y tiene que ver con la manera en que la gente puede participar e influir en las decisiones que toma su gobierno. La apertura fundamentalmente se trata de la democracia y los procesos democráticos basándose en la transparencia y el intercambio de información.
Participating in decision-making processes. Access to information is limited. Corruption and mismanagement are widespread. I commend President Obama for taking this initiative to bring together partner countries in an effort to share their experience and best practices to promote good governance in our countries. Different countries have different experiences. Let me share some of ours with you. The Norwegian system is based on extensive cooperation between government and civil society, with employers and employees' organizations, with non-governmental organizations and interest groups, in decision-making processes and in implementing government policies. Norway's sovereign wealth fund is governed by a set of strict ethical guidelines and subject to the highest degree of transparency. This is important for the fund's integrity. It contributes to the well-functioning of markets and to corporate and social responsibility. As a major oil and gas producer, Norway is an active partner in the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative, AITI. The AITI is based on transparency in all extractive industries. Through the Oil for Development Program, Norway assists more than 20 countries in establishing high standards of transparency in the natural resource management. In our experience, open, responsive, and accountable government makes for more effective government. Transparency about budgets, expenditure, and the economy contributes to better economic performance. The full participation of all citizens, men and women alike, allow us to draw on the full pool of national talent. As we work together to move the open government partnership forward, Norway will seek to follow up three areas in particular: improving access to information and facilitating democratic participation in government, enhancing fiscal transparency and financial integrity, strengthening the role of women in government, the economy and civic life. President Rousseff and President Obama, we look forward to working with you and with the partner countries, to sharing our experiences, our best practices on how to improve our societies based on openness, participation and democracy. Thank you.
Aquino of the Philippines.
President Obama, President Rousseff, Excellencies and fellow members of the Open Government Partnership, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. In February of 1986, an unprecedented peaceful revolution in my country in which millions of people flooded the streets of Manila ousted the dictator. The spirit behind it all was collective yearning for what we are discussing today, open and accountable governance. Last year, it was an idea of an open government as well that again, in another unprecedented act, rallied the Filipino people in droves, not in the streets, but through the ballot to vote for me, then a member of the opposition. So that the Filipino people and not merely participants in the long entrenched system of patronage and corruption could finally emerge victorious. This is what democracy is all about. Having a government disciplined enough to imbibe in itself the principles of transparency, accountability, and citizen involvement, the necessary preconditions to poverty alleviation and inclusive and sustainable economic growth. The Philippines' participation in the OGP is consistent with our administration's commitment to honest and effective governance. It presents clear advantages to the Philippines. We can access and exchange best practices, peer consultation, and technical assistance in implementing our domestic initiatives. Allow me then to salute the founding members of the OGP, as well as the new countries who have more recently shown interest in standing up for transparent, accountable, and participatory governance. Likewise, let me thank the OGP for honoring my country with membership in the OGP Steering Committee. This acknowledges and further strengthens our commitment to promoting transparency, fostering accountability, and combating corruption. A participatory government lies at the very foundation of our efforts. A nation maximizes its potential through unity. When a people march to a single beat and in a single direction, it arrives at its goals faster because of everyone's collective effort. This unity hampers progress. Ironically, though unity cannot be achieved by stifling dissent, but by allowing voices to be heard in order to achieve a consensus. Listening, allowing others to speak, and raising the level of public discourse funnels a people's dreams and aspirations into a single national agenda. Government institutions are strengthened when they are not merely open to the active participation of the citizens, but when they encourage the people to engage it by empowering them and garnering their trust. The public must be able to give feedback to the government, and in turn, the government must show that it is ready to listen by putting in place mechanisms through which the people's voice can be heard. If our citizens can be engaged in this way, then I am certain that we will achieve our collective goals sooner rather than later. In fact, I believe that if any citizenry can be actively engaged by its government, then it can only have positive effects on the quality of life of the people. Another significant goal of ours is pushing forward the agenda of accountability. Our administration defines accountability in two ways: as a commitment to uphold the highest of ethical standards in government, and as an obligation to achieve measurable performance targets and outcomes. To uphold accountability, we have taken a two-pronged approach, focusing on the curative and the preventive. As we vigorously pursue our campaign against those who abused power in the past, we are also strengthening institutions through open government. In fact, we have created a roadmap called the 2012 Philippine Government Action Plan to ensure that our government institutions are at par with international transparency standards. This action plan was developed through consultation with networks of civil society organizations, as well as business groups engaged in the integrity advocacy. We recognize that this action plan is a work in progress. The long-standing culture of corruption and concealment that had taken root will take time to change. But rest assured, before its implementation in January 2012, the plan will have gone through even deeper consultations. All these efforts are indicators of how serious we are in transforming our system from one that operates through secrecy, impunity, and collusion into a government that embodies transparency, accountability, and citizen engagement, a government that truly exists for its people. The Philippines has always been and remains committed to the ideals put forward by the OGP. Being part of a global community of transparency advocates is more than a source of collective strength for us. It also allows our government to strengthen its efforts and find opportunities for cooperation with its peers. I am aware that much remains to be done, but so long as we stand firmly united in veering away from a jagged path of dishonesty and concealment, and so long as we run governments focused on righting the wrong and staying along the straight path, the coming generations will surely inherit a more peaceful, prosperous, and open world. Thank you.
President Zuma of South Africa.
Thank you, Excellency President Obama, Excellency President Rousseff, Your Excellencies, heads of states and government, members of the Open Government Partnership International Steering Committee, representatives of the civil society partners, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this opportunity to participate in this important discussion on open government. We would like to thank President Obama and President Rousseff for hosting this crucial initiative. The Open Government Initiative is in line with the African Union's African peer review mechanism, which encourages African governments to improve governance, including openness and service delivery to their populations. Open government in the South African case is premised on our progressive and transformative constitution, which enshrines a Bill of Rights and the principles of open governance. Chapter 9 of our constitution specifically provides for the establishment of independent institutions to safeguard and enforce openness, transparency, accountability, responsiveness, and ethical governance in the public and private spheres. These institutions are the offices of the Public Protector, South African Human Rights Commission, Auditor General, Independent Electoral Commission, the South African Human Rights Commission, a Gender Commission, and a Commission on Traditional Linguistic and Religious Communities. These institutions are an important armory in promoting and protecting the rights of our citizens. We also regard the development of an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service and an informed and empowered citizenry as key tools in the promotion of open governance. We promote citizens' engagement and participation through direct contact with citizens by undertaking visits to hear their suggestions and concerns and to monitor service delivery. Also key to open government and creating an open society is a free media. We pride ourselves on having freedom of expression and media freedom that are enshrined in the Constitution. This makes our vibrant democracy with a healthy exchange of ideas in society also important in promoting open government is the fight against corruption. We have a number of institutions with specific mandates of preventing and investigating acts of corruption, as this is one of our key national priorities. The South African government is therefore unambiguously committed to espousing the principles of open governance. We consulted with civil society in drafting an open government country action plan. The consultation process will continue until we finalize this plan. We also continue to participate in continental initiatives that assess our performance in this regard, such as the African peer review mechanism, as mentioned, working with our people, we will deliver on our undertakings to create a society where all, including the poor, have a voice and participate in processes to determine and improve how they are governed. We would like to thank the steering committee members and representatives of governments for having made this open government process a reality, and I thank you.
The representative from Indonesia.
Excellencies, Presidents, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It is with great honor for me to be part of this very important occasion at the launching of this innovative global initiative involving government, civil societies, private sectors, that work together to advance government's openness. On behalf of the government of the Republic of Indonesia, I would like to convey my appreciation to President Obama and President Rousseff, who have co-chaired and hosted this very important event. First, let me relay the warmest regard from the President of Indonesia, who unfortunately could not be here today to speak before you. We recognize the President as a strong advocate to the principle of open government, and Indonesia's role in open government partnership reflects his commitment to this very important subject. Indonesians know too well how life was difficult when information was only shared among the few, and how our bureaucracy was not an accountable tool for excellent public policies. However, Indonesians today know how they can benefit from openness and transparency, where everyone can speak their mind and has an equal access to information, a testament to their struggle for freedom of speech in the Reformasi movement in 1998. Ladies and gentlemen, Indonesia's active role in open government partnership is not only a natural continuation of our endless efforts toward more transparency, participation, and accountability in the public sector, but it is also a breakthrough in the history of our democracy and governance. Our open government initiatives now target areas closer to daily lives of our citizens, such as education, health, and access to justice. We also seek to advance the transparency of our public institutions, especially through its budgetary and revenues management. Realizing and anticipating challenges and opportunities in the 21st century, Indonesia's whole commitment to open government embraces and is powered by a new mindset as well, values for the next generation. After a rigorous public consultation with various stakeholders in the last few months, we have designed open government initiatives built around a triple-track plan. These tracks are composed of initiatives that promote the three principles of open government, that is transparency, public participation, and accountability. The first track of our program focuses on accelerating the implementation of existing open government initiatives, including government programs on poverty reduction and public service provisions. The second track focuses on promoting access to information through the use of electronic common portals for public services and public institutions. These electronic portals will serve as engines for transparency that will further ignite active public participation in various development and accountability issues. The last track focuses on accommodating for new innovations in open government, coming from institutions at all levels. We believe that there are people, institutions in central and local government that have really done well in the area of open government. This track transforms those islands of openness into champions of openness. All of the initiatives above are just the beginning. Together with the citizens, CSOs, and private sector, we hope to continually improve how we deliver to the people in our strive to create an open government. Ladies and gentlemen, to conclude, I hope that our effort in this forum will bring a strong foundation for international cooperation in the advancement of openness and transparency around the globe. Let me assure you that Indonesia stands ready to play an active role in this partnership, as we believe that our work together will speed up and intensify the promotion of good governance in our own country and throughout the world. We warmly welcome the opportunity to become co-chair of this partnership in September 2012. Thank you.
The representative from the United Kingdom.
Mr. President, Madam President, fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, I bring the warm good wishes of Prime Minister Cameron, who is sorry he can't be here today, but for whom transparency has been a defining passion of the government he leads. We're committed in the UK to being the most transparent government in the world, but today's event suggests this will be a hotly contested field. It's a law of politics that all oppositions are passionately in favor of transparency. In office, governments tend to favor transparency and openness in their first 12 months when what they're exposing is their predecessors' errors. After that, it's altogether less comfortable. There's nothing cozy or fluffy or soft about transparency. It's hard-edged. It needs to be rigorous. It gets governments out of their comfort zone. It enables the citizen to hold the government to account, not just every few years at election time, but week by week and month by month. In embracing transparency, we volunteer to have our feet held to the fire on a daily basis. Today is a pivotal moment. Over the last 20 years or so, the world has opened up. Across the globe, we've seen societies, economies, and governments becoming more open. In Eastern and Central Europe, across Asia and Latin America, in Africa, most recently in the Arab Spring, the shutters are being thrown back and the light is flooding in. And today we're at an inflection point. Today the demand for openness is unstoppable, and for the first time the technology exists to make it irresistible. For the first time people can access and exploit data in a way that makes us in government more accountable. It's easier for the public to demand data. It's easier for governments to provide it. It's easier for citizens to use it to inform their choices in public services and to demand responses from the providers of public services. It's easier for entrepreneurs and developers to exploit the data in ways that drive both economic and social growth. Occasionally, some ask, is all this academic? Is it merely a passing whim, a fad for political theorists? What difference can it make to citizens in their everyday lives? Well, the answer is it can make a difference both in huge ways and in very mundane ways and in an infinity of ways in between. It can save lives. A few years ago, Britain's leading cardiac surgeon persuaded his peer group to publish their outcome data, including mortality rates across the UK. The results were startling. There were massive variances. As a result, bad practices were eliminated and good practices spread. Mortality rates fell as a result dramatically over the succeeding years. Transparency transformed the way in which this vital public service was delivered. It saved lives. At the other end of the life and death spectrum, think about travel data. Imagine how an application on your iPhone using real-time data could tell you when your bus was due, whether you needed to run to catch it, or if you had time to buy your newspaper and coffee on the way. Not life or death, clearly, but tangible improvement in people's everyday lives. It can transform the effectiveness of overseas aid. We're proud that Britain's development budget is not only surviving the necessary fiscal retrenchment, but it's being expanded to meet the UN target of 0.7% of GDP. But we want that budget to be spent to maximum effect. So I can say that we'll bring the principles of the Open Government Partnership into our aid program. When deciding whether governments will receive UK budget support, direct budget support, progress against OGP membership criteria will be an important factor. And 5% of the support will be ring-fenced to be spent on strengthening local accountability to support progress against OGP goals. We're delighted to be a founder member of the partnership and delighted to be assuming the co-chairmanship early next year. We look forward to learning from our colleagues and sharing our own experiences. For the launch of the OGP today can be a transforming moment in the checkered history of democracy. It can be a milestone in the long march to an open and harmonious world. Membership can mark the point where our governments make a new covenant between the people and the state. Victor Hugo once said, "You can resist an invading army, you cannot resist the power of an idea whose time has come." Transparency is an idea, a huge idea, whose time has come. Let us not only not resist it, let us embrace it with enthusiasm, passion, and total commitment. Thank you.
As I indicated at the outset, part of what can make this partnership powerful is that in addition to the member states, we are actively encouraging the partnership with civil society organizations. And so to close out this session, I'd like to hear from Mr. Rakesh Rajani.
Thank you, President Obama, President Youssef, Your Excellencies, fellow City Society members, ladies and gentlemen. In a world marked by so much turmoil, we need open governments to build trust and to revitalize the social compact between citizens and states. Openness can bring governments and citizens together, cultivate shared understandings, and help solve our everyday practical problems. It starts with sharing information. We heard today that Norway's enormous oil wealth is managed as a public asset whose revenues are transparent to all. Openness will be key to turning natural resource wealth from a curse to a blessing for many millions, particularly in my continent, Africa. In Mexico, when the civil society group Fundar showed that health services were not reaching women, clinics were not open, and medicines that were meant to be free were anything but, the Ministry of Health made concrete reforms to save lives. Across Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, Uwezo, a citizen-led survey of almost 200,000 households, has demonstrated that children still lack basic literacy and numeracy skills despite being in school, despite billions of dollars of investments. These findings are now helping governments and citizens and parents to improve learning outcomes in education. The US government's data.gov site not only makes 300,000 data sets public, it invites users to design applications to mash data, see patterns, and create new knowledge that it could have never done on its own. In London and New York, Nairobi and Haiti, platforms such as Ushahidi, Fix My Street, and 311 are enabling citizens to get city councils to fix potholes and broken streetlights, to track health stockouts and relief supplies. Still, to be meaningful to citizens, information needs to be accessible locally. In India, MKSS has democratized access to spending data by painting it on over 100,000 community walls in the state of Rajasthan alone. Ordinary citizens audit public records to verify whether salary registers are real or fake, and whether reported infrastructure actually exists. In the state of Andhra Pradesh, citizen audits have uncovered fraud and theft of over $25 million, of which a fifth has already been recovered. Citizen involvement has proven to be so useful that the Controller and Auditor General of India has called for social audits to be conducted across the country. However, as important as saved dollars are, the true power of open government may be its effect on the public imagination. When citizens monitor what's going on, make comparisons, and act, they gain a sense of purpose and control, a sense not only that things happen to us, but that we can make things happen, a poignant affirmation that we are part of the narrative of history. In fact, citizens are making change happen every day at an unprecedented scale and pace. The recent events of the Arab Spring attest to this. Elsewhere, too, people are agitating for dignity and livelihood, from the walks to work in Uganda, to the hunger fast to stop corruption in India, from the rappers satirizing for life presidents in Senegal, to the protesters outside my Wall Street hotel room this morning demanding jobs. Open communication also heightens aspirations. No longer are people willing to bear it, remain silent in the face of humiliations, and indefinitely defer their dreams. Ideas travel. We see how others live and make a difference. We wonder, if they can do it, why can't we? We learn lessons, we make meaning, we craft tools, we organize, we act. For governments that wish to maintain established order, these developments are worrying, but they cannot be wished away, and in fact, they provide all of us a powerful opportunity for change. For open government is the most apt response to the democratic human impulse to be involved, to count, to matter. Excluding people breeds resentment and suspicion and anger. In contrast, creating open societies where citizens can freely access and share data and ideas and choose their leaders and hold them to account creates a sense of belonging and gives people a stake in public affairs and in politics. Openness makes it easier to engender trust, legitimacy, and responsibility, and it is harder to be cynical. Take the constitutions of South Africa and Kenya. Among the greatest such documents in the world, born out of contexts of violence and deep inequities, they were forged through struggle and exhaustive, open public engagement. Today, despite persistent tensions in both those countries, these constitutions are helping create fairer societies, upholding the best part of our ideals and guarding against our baser instincts. So, Presidents, ladies and gentlemen, the course of human progress is never straightforward, but the human spirit is such, with our curiosity to know, our impulse to speak out, our tenacity to get things done despite the odds, and our deep-rooted desire for freedom and dignity, that in the end we will settle for nothing less than open government. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rakesh, for that wonderful testimony. Thank you all to the leaders who shared their action plans and the steps that they're taking and your willingness to participate in this initiative. We are extraordinarily grateful. As I said earlier, today is just the beginning of this partnership. Those who are the founding members have to go back home and work to meet the commitments that we've made and to be held accountable. The 38 nations joining us today will be working on their own action plans, and we look forward to our next meeting in Brazil next year when our partnership welcomes more countries who share our commitment to open government. I want to thank all the participants. I particularly want to thank the civil society organizations that are doing extraordinary work. I very much appreciated the statement by the representative from the United Kingdom that this is not always comfortable if done right, because governments are human institutions, which means that even with the best of intentions, we are flawed and we make mistakes. And it's a natural human impulse to try to cover up mistakes and to resist the kind of openness that's been discussed here today. But as Rakesh, I think, said so well, the more open we are, the more willing we are to hear constructive criticism, the more effective we can be. And ultimately, governments are here to serve the people, not to serve those in power. I'm very grateful for all of you for participating. Thank you for embracing this challenge to make sure our governments are as open and accountable and as effective as they can be so that we can meet the aspirations of all our citizens. Thank you very much.